the bad word. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Mustn't say the bad word now.
Beggars of life. The Kangaroo Court by Jim Tully. This is one of the many interesting episodes of actual happenings as written by Jim Tully and described for the first time in his book, Beggars of Life. To bring you this tale in its most vivid form, we present the author himself, who can best describe, as he saw it, the scene of the Kangaroo Court, in which all legal procedure is reversed. Here is Jim Tully.
It was my first experience in jail. The cells were unlocked at 7 o'clock, and we were marched with other prisoners to a long table at the end of the jail where a breakfast of wieners, rye bread, and weak coffee was served. A man with an immense stomach and 3 chins stood near the table in order to keep order, as he said. It was Sunday morning, and, perhaps out of courtesy to President Roosevelt, who believed in the strenuous life, the cell doors were left open so that the derelicts might exchange social gossip. The prisoners noticed Dutch and myself and immediately formed a kangaroo court after the meal. We were charged with breaking into the prison without the consent of the inmates. A one-legged hobo bailiff led us before His Honor, a decrepit, bewhiskered derelict who scratched himself constantly. He wore a black and white striped hickory shirt, and his right cheek was swollen with a large quid of tobacco. Every now and then he aimed with accurate precision at a large square wooden box filled with sawdust. His Honor wiped his lips as the saliva spattered into the box, and then his Adam's apple was seen to work up and down like a frog crawling under a yellow sheet. As we faced the judge, he asked us from which state we hailed. Upon answering Ohio, a vagrant from that state was appointed to defend us. The one-legged bailiff pounded on the floor with his crutch and yelled,
Hey, 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 what's the matter, can't you hear me?
The fat man who watched us, in order to keep order, was laughing heartily. His 3 chins and belly shook with mirth. I had heard of kangaroo courts and knew that the man who told the wildest tale of a crooked life would find mercy from the court.
Give an account of your life outside so that we can judge your fitness to be with us. Now speak candidly, and remember, the court ain't got no mercy on poor men.
That's right.
He spat again, and his Adam's apple worked convulsively. He missed the box. The one-legged bailiff stood near it, and the brown stream ran down his crutch like sap down a maple tree.
What the devil, Your Honor?
Order in the court.
Now to presume, yeah. You're charged with being a preacher when little kids is hungry.
That's a lie, Your Honor. His record's clean as a darky in a coal mine. He's not an honest man. He denies it. He makes tame girls wild. He runs a law school. His brother's a professor. He's no preacher. Well, it can't be said he's fool enough to work for a living. Still, Your Honor, his hands ain't smooth. They ain't for the fact.
The prosecuting attorney cut in. His shirt was open at the throat, and a mass of hair covered the front buttons. There was a red birthmark on his right cheek and a scar at the edge of his temple. He was immensely broad. The bottom of a trouser leg had been torn off as if by a dog, and the other one was too long and was rolled several times above his shoe, which was cracked across the top. His hands were brown, and when he closed them, they resembled mallets fastened to long, hairy arms.
No, Dishonor. I don't stand for this. Why, this ambulance chase is trying to make the kid out a bum.
Yeah.
Why, the kid's a sissy.
Yeah.
He goes to Sunday school every Sunday.
Your Honor, that's so untruthful, it's dis-evident to all. The kid's a punk. Aye, he slept in boxcars with Frisco Slim. Why, he's known as Cincy Red. They ain't no Sunday school boys hanging around Frisco Slim, is there, Your Honor?
How do I know? Ask me another question like that, and I'll have you put up for attempt at court.
Right.
You're too intimate. I don't know any Sunday school boys.
The prosecuting attorney scratched himself.
Hey, bailiff, bailiff! This man's a-scratching himself here before the court. Now, that's rank disrespect to my judicial plurality. I order that attorney fined at once.
How much is the fine, Your Honor?
Dime in his pocket comb. Dime will be for court expenses. Boil the comb in lye, hang it out in the air for 6 days. Give it to the desk sergeant. Lash won't live on policemen.
The two lawyers proceeded to argue with much bitterness. When they had finished, the judge called me closer to him and said,
My boy, I don't believe none of the charges again you at all. You look like a blowed in a glass stiff to me. You look as rough as a jungle buzzard. Now, I want to say to you that you must keep on the way you're going. Get arrested, all your kin. In a couple of years, you'll be an all-around tramp. Don't listen to none of them guys what tells you different, because you'll fool around and you won't amount to nothing. Of course, there is some things you could learn and still be a good hobo. And then there's always a danger that you go to ruin. You might be an undertaker in a poor neighborhood, or you might even speak on a Chautauqua platform, or join the army, be an admiral's boy in the Navy, or the chaplain's, but then you're in danger, and you're too smart for that. Now, we've decided not to try on the charge of breaking into this jail. Because in all humanity, we don't think that even a senator or a congressman would be dumb enough to do that. Not if they lives in this town long enough to know. I feel it's my bounden duty to tell you these things. You're young. The world is behind you, getting ready to give you a good kick. Now, the thing to do is to sit down all you can. Harden yourself in the weak places, so the kick won't hurt. That's the way all them business guys do. They get tired of furnishing work for guys to do, so they call themselves tired businessmen. I think you got a chance to be a good bum. Of course, from your looks, it's plain to see that if you had less brains, we would sell you to the zoo in New York. And oh, my boy, Barnum was right when he said that some of the people come from apes, kid. You still got to go through the evolution stage for you'll be an ape.
He looks like an ape now.
Apes is smart. And a lot smarter than police or Democrats.
No Democrats.
Now, I won't give you a rough sentence, lad. I'll be kind to you. I'll be your Oscar Wilde and say pretty things to you. We'll go out gallivanting, but I'll be true to you. And so the sentence of this court going to be a light one. All you has to do while you're retiring from the world is to take care of the judge's chambers. Clean out my cell every morning and make the bed whereon I slumber.
Dutch was then brought before the judge. The bailiff pounded his court crutch for order, while the opposing lawyers stood on each side of him.
Your Honor, I bring before this bar a noted stool pigeon, a guy who tells lies to the screws, up on his fellows who do the same line of work.
He's not a stool pigeon. He's an honest hod carrier.
I don't believe it.
Look at them shoulders. And look at his head. You could shoot it out of a gun.
I wish to warn you against loseful use of language in the future. Now, this is not a bar at all. It's a courtroom where we dispense at justice. It's like every other courtroom in this broad home of the free and land of the slave. This place ain't got none of the appurtenances of a bar. If it had, you wouldn't be lawyering, and I wouldn't be judging people who hasn't been as careful as me. Now, what's the charge against this young man?
Stool pigeon, Your Honor, and breaking in here without our consent.
I believe it. He's guilty of both charges. I fine him all he's got and sentence him to sweep out the jail every morning.
He ain't got nothing on him, Your Honor.
Well, where's his stuff?
With the desk sergeant.
Well, we'll never get it then. Now you can sweep out the jail twice a day.
The bailiff swung sideways and disappeared with his crutch. He returned in a moment and handed Dutch a broom, its straws black from many sweepings. Dutch started sweeping violently where he stood. The dust rose in a cloud under the delicate nostrils of the judge, and he coughed. The prosecuting attorney led Dutch to the far end of the aisle, where he began industriously carrying out his sentence. His Honor yelled.
Hey, you cut out that sweep until the court takes its morning airing. The court's dismissed, but detained.
Mustn't say the bad word. Hail, the gang's all here. Mustn't say the bad word.
Of the cells and talk to freights and crooks and painted women and easy towns to panhandle in which they had known in the days when life was young and free.
Thank you, Jim Tully. You have just heard another interesting episode from Bakers of Life, stories written and told by Jim Tully, the world-famous writer of real stories about real people. Listen again tomorrow at the same time for another vital story of vagabond life by Jim Tully.
Mustn't say the bad word now.